الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التغابن اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما اصاب من مصيبه الا باذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهد قلبه والله بكل شيء عليم واطيعوا الله واطيعوا الرسول فان توليتم فانما على رسولنا البلاغ المبين الله لا اله الا هو وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم واسمعوا واطيعوا وانفقوا خيرا لانفسكم ومن يوق شح نفسه فاولئك هم المفلحون ان تقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعف لكم ويغفر لكم والله شكور حليم عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم نور قلوبنا بالإيمان واشرح صدورنا للإسلام ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى وتقبل منا فإنك خير المتقبلين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh I have just recited to you the 8 ayat of the second section of Ruku of Surah At-Taghabun. The fourth lesson of the second part of our selected course of study of the Quran which we are discussing in this series of lectures consists of Surah At-Taghabun. As I told you, this surah consists of total 18 ayat. The first section comprises of 10 ayat and the second section comprises of 8 ayat. In both the sections we find a subdivision into two. In the first section of Ruku we found in the first 7 ayat there is the narration, a narrative description of Iman. Tawheed discussed in 4 ayat, the institution of prophethood in 2 ayat, and then the resurrection and the life hereafter, the day of judgment in 1 ayah. And then in 3 ayah there was a very strong call to believe in all these things. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ In the second section we have the same subdivision. In the first 5 ayahs we shall see there's a description of the results, or we may call them the fruits of true Iman, real Iman. Not the legal Iman only, not the verbal attestation only. The Iman which reaches the level of personal conviction. In the next 3 ayat, the remaining 3 ayat, there's again a call. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ And in both the places we find the kalima fa. So, this is like this, this is like this, this is like this, so accept it. This is result number one of Iman, this is result number two of the Iman, this is result number three of the Iman. So, do it. Go ahead. So this is a very beautiful description and analysis of the contents and the subjects which have been discussed in this Surah Al-Mubarakah, Al-Azimah. But before we proceed to the detailed study of the second section, as I told you in the end of my previous session, two points still remain to be discussed regarding the first section. And let us first of all pay that debt and then proceed forward. You find the last words of the first section, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Now why is this addition of takzeeb to kufr? Is not one word sufficient? Kufr. It's all comprehensive. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا. Addition of another word. In our speech, human speech, we add synonymous words only for the sake of increased emphasis. But that is rhetoric. But in the kalam of Allah, in the speech of Allah, there cannot even be a single additional word without its necessity and without its meanings. So here it is not rhetoric. It means something. And actually, when these questions you pose to yourself and then you think over it, then actually new meanings, new wisdom that is revealed to be the student of the Quran. Now what is it? Just as we have seen that Iman has two components. The testimony of the nature, that is the basis of Iman. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهَا. This good nature, unpolluted, unimpaired, unperverted nature, just as we find in the case of Luqman. So this is actually the first necessary component of Iman. And in the Ayatul Nur of Suratul Nur which we found, it has been termed the light within. The light of nature. To this is added the light of wahi. That is actually the Iman is completed. When there was pure nature, unperverted nature, the testimony of the nature, the person reached certain level of Iman by his thinking, by using his intellect. Ulul albab. قَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. But this thinking, this use of the intellect should be under the guidance of pure nature. And a man reaches a certain level. And then the rest is completed by wahi. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. And I quoted the ayah from the last part of Surah Ash-Shura. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِيمَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ وَلَاكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. And that is why we found in Surah An-Nur, نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. Noor of the fitrah, light of the nature, and to it is added the light of the wahi. So in the same way, kufr has also two components. A kafir, an unbeliever, first of all, suppresses his own nature, suppresses the testimony of his own nature. And I told you this is actually the literal meaning of the word kufr, to suppress something, to erase something, to remove something, to hide something. He is suppressing, he is hiding the testimony of his nature. This is kufr. And added to it is takzeeb. Now, when the call of wahi comes to him, when the call from some prophet or messenger of Allah comes to him, he repudiates, denies. He declares it to be false. He says, you are a liar. There's nothing coming from Allah. So actually it's a double crime, not single. First of all, you suppress the testimony of your own nature. This is kufr. And to this kufr has been added takzeeb. Now when that wahi came, that message came through a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rejected it. And not only rejected it, he declared it to be false, to be a lie. Nothing from Allah. This is his own composition. He is himself saying something. And he is only telling a lie when he says that it is coming to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when this is completed, that is why I quoted the ayah from Surah An-Naml. It's very important. Ayah 14. وَجَهَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَدَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Although their hearts believed in it, Fir'aun recognized that Moses, whatever he is saying, is correct. All the people, the chieftains of his court, recognized. But they denied, they refused to accept. In the same way, Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. These learned people of the Jews, the ulama, they have recognized Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Quran, just as they recognize their own sons. Can there be any difficulty in recognizing your own sons? Out of thousands of people, you'll immediately recognize, he is my son. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. And then they are denying. So actually, two parts of Iman, and corresponding to, and converse to, those two elements of Iman, there are two elements of Kufr. And that is why when a person does it, when he first of all suppresses the testimony of his nature, that is why you find in the 16th section of Surah Al-Baqarah, the last section of part 1 of the Quran, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who is more evildoer, more cruel, more unjust than a person who hides the testimony which is with him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This testimony is there with us in our nature. Then the testimony was with the people of the book, because there were prophecies in Torah and Injil about the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So actually hiding and concealing the testimony that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to somebody is the biggest crime. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلِ رَبَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. So when a person commits this crime number 2, and that is takzeeb. Crime number 1 is kufr, suppressing the testimony of the nature. And crime number 2, over and above that, and that is takzeeb, denying the wahi. Now, so to say, the seal, his final seal is put on him, on his heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim. Taba Allahu ala qulubihim. Now the seal on their fate has been fixed on their hearts. Now they will not be able to embrace Islam or to understand the truth, because they have rejected it. After their own hearts testified that it is correct. A person who goes to that level, now actually he closes the door of all divine guidance for himself. And that is the final fate of those people. So this is actually here. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Why have you? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Both these words are meaningful. It's not rhetoric. It's not simple addition of synonymous words as we do in our human language. Both are meaningful. Number 2 point concerns the wisdom and philosophy of the Quran. We know a word, khalidina fiha, repeated so many times. Khalidina fiha. About the people of Jahannam and people of Jannah, both. Khalidina fiha. What is khulud? Khulud is forever. But because, as I told you, our imagination is also limited. Our comprehension is limited. Our understanding is limited. Even our imagination is limited. So eternity, forever, it is unimaginable for us. That is why in the Quran we find a word added to it. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Abada is again a synonymous word. But why has it been added? Not without any reason. To give you some impression, it's going to last very long, very long, very long. It's going to be eternal. But because you can't have the conception of eternity, so another word to be added, so that effect is produced. And we find this addition of abada to khulud, both in case of jahannam, hell, as well as in case of jannah, heaven or paradise, but at different places. There are two places in the Quran which are an exception, where we find a simultaneous contrast that this additional word of abada, it is added when the discussion is about jannah. It is not added when the discussion is about jahannam or the hell. One of those places is this surah. That ayah is not written here. ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنُ. We read the last two ayats. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. No abada added here. Wabais al-Masih. The other place in the Quran is Surah Al-Bayyinah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. Two places of the Quran where there is a simultaneous contrast that to khulud abada is added for the paradise, not for the hell. On the basis of this, two great thinkers of Islam who are in all the other aspects not only different from each other, diagonally opposite to each other. You must be knowing, the biggest imam among the Sufia is Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi. And among the Salafis, the biggest imam, Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah. And they are so to say, because Ibn Taymiyyah is a later person, historically, well, Ibn Arabi could not have said anything against Ibn Taymiyyah, but Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has said many things against him. He criticized him bitterly. He declares him at some places as zindiq. But at one point, it's very strange, these both great thinkers of Islam, they are unanimous. They hold the same opinion. And that is that Jannah is eternal, 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 no ending to it. But Jahannam, hell, is not eternal. Very long time, very long time, very long time, but a time will come when it will end. This is the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi, whom the Sufia, the Mutasawwifin, most of the mystics in Islam, they call him Ash-Shaykh al-Akbar. And they are very much different from each other in their approach, in their opinions. But at this point, their opinions coincide. But please notice, it is against the consensus and the official dogma, aqidah, of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They hold the opinion that both the Jannah and Jahannam are eternal. But I just mentioned to you, it's a food for thought. I don't want to discuss it anymore. But because the place, one of the places is this surah, that khulud, but added to it, this khulud, there is abada, additional word of abada in case of Jannah, not in the case of Jahannam. So these were the two points which I wanted to bring to your notice. And now the second ruku, as I told you, the sequence in this second ruku, just like the first ruku or section is, in five ayat we shall find the changes which should occur in the feelings of a mu'min, in the point of view of the mu'min, in the mental attitude of the mu'min, in the value structure of the mu'min, and then his practical conduct in life. It must be revolutionized. A person who is not believing in Allah and the resurrection and the day of judgment and the life hereafter, the eternal life of the hereafter, and in the institution of wahi and prophets, and there is a person who believes in all these things, there should be a world of difference between their attitudes, their thinking. This iman, if it is true and real iman, not only a dogma, not only a racial creed, with most of us today, it's not conviction, it's only a racial creed. We believe in certain things only because we were born of Muslim parents. We were taught to believe in these things from the very beginning. There is Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Qiyamah and Malaika and Jannah and Jahannam. These things we have been hearing from the very childhood. So we tend to believe in these things. At least we say we believe in these things. But if we peep into the depth of our hearts and decide for ourselves, do I really believe in these things? Am I really convinced? Maybe that the answer is to be negative. But I don't want to dilate on this point. Iman, if it is real, must produce certain results. We have already seen two results in the sixth ayat of the last section of Surah Al Imran, فَالَّذِينَ عَادَرُوا وَأُخْرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَوُجُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا. The activism, as you call it, the Islamic activist, and which today they call the Islamic fundamentalist, and he is an activist. He wants that Islam should be supreme. He wants that Islam should be established as a living reality, living entity, as an actual political, social, economic system. He wants that the kingdom of heaven on earth should be established, kingdom of Allah. So actually for that, they have to make hijrah. They have to make jihad. They have to suffer in the way of Allah. They have to bear the persecution. They have to bear the threat to their lives. So this is one side, as I told you, of the picture of the character of a mu'min. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا. The fourth section of our selected course of study would deal exclusively with these realities. This side of the picture of the character of a mu'min. The other side of the picture, في بيوت نزل الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. This is second side. But both are apparent. This side is also visible. If somebody has made hijrah, if he is fighting for the cause of Allah, if he is bearing the persecution in the way of Allah, well, people can see it, it's visible. In the same way, one is praying, one goes to the mosque five times a day, is paying his zakah, the obligatory charity, it is also visible. Now there's a third dimension, as I said, to the character of the mu'min, and that is the inward feelings. What is his angle of view? how he thinks about the wealth of this world. What are his feelings about the relations, relatives, the relations of blood and flesh? What is his feeling about the calamities, afflictions? What are his feelings about whom he trusts, in whom he places his trust? All these things, they are discussed in the second ruku of this surah, Al-Mubarakah Al-Azimah. And now please let me give you, because you know this is a very lengthy, all-comprehensive subject. How many results should come? How many fruits of real iman? But to be concise, to be brief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adopted a sequence. First we should understand the sequence. First visualize a human being, a man or woman. All are human beings, ba'dukum min ba'd. We have discussed it. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. A human being, as an individual, his personality has two aspects. Something happening to him or her. There are accidents, incidents, occurrences, happenings which affect him. And either these are pleasant or unpleasant. Something happens which is pleasant to you. It brings you happiness. Something has happened which is unpleasant to you. It brings grief and sorrow for you. There's some loss. Now these are something which is happening to you. It might be coming from so many agencies. Somebody has done some harm to you, someone, some person, some enemy. Or there some harm has come to you through some natural agency. Maybe a lightning has struck your house and you have the damage. Maybe some of your relatives might have been killed. This calamity to you has not come through some person. It's a natural calamity. But you group them together. Whether it is natural calamity or it is coming from some person, but it is affecting you. What should be your attitude towards these calamities, towards these afflictions, towards these incidents which are happening to you, which are affecting you? What is the result of iman regarding this aspect of human behavior? The second aspect of human personality is things which are coming out from you. Your deeds, your actions, all these your organs, hands, feet. You are committing something, you are doing something, some actions, some deed. They might be good, they might be bad, they might be evil, they might be virtuous. What should be the result of iman on this second aspect of human personality? This would be the first step. Then now we know. We are not living in any vacuum. We live in a society. In world of matter, two things are there with which we are inevitably, perforce, connected. There are relations of blood and flesh. We have parents. We have offspring. We have spouses. Husband for the wife. Wife for the husband. Then we have relatives, brothers, sisters. Then the tribe, the clan. Then the whole nation. And then maybe, if the mental horizon of a person, if it is, it widens, the whole humanity, you are connected to it. You are not isolated. You are living in a society. What should be your attitude towards these relations, blood relations, these connections of blood and flesh? If you have true iman, then because you are living in this world of matter, you need something. You need a house to live, some roof, some place to live in. You need something to eat, to sustain yourself. Preservation of the self. preservation of the species. All these things, they are the natural instincts. These are real needs. And you are affected by these things also. What is the attitude of a moment towards these things? So these should be the four questions. What is the attitude, mental attitude, feeling of a moment, the things which are occurring to him, affecting him, happening to him? What should be the position of what is coming out of him by way of deeds and actions? What should be his point of view, his angle of view, his feeling about the relations of blood and flesh? What should be his mental attitudes towards the wealth, the material articles and objects of this world? But the second which I listed has two parts, and we shall discuss it later. So in a very beautiful way, in the five ayat, these five results of Iman have been discussed. Most important, profound part of the Quran from this point of view. I'm using these words, most profound. Actually, every word, every kalima of this kalamullah is profound. Fathomless. Its depth cannot be measured. It's the kalam of Allah. His person is absolute, limitless. His wisdom is absolute, limitless. His kalam is absolute, limitless. But different parts, different ayahs, different surahs are most profound, most comprehensive regarding different subjects, different topics. As I told you, regarding the conditions of salvation, Suratul Asr is the most profound surah of the Quran. Among the smaller surahs, as regards the subject of Tawheed, especially Tawheed of person of Allah, Tawheed Fizzat, Surah Al-Ikhlas is the most profound surah. That is why the Prophet said it's equal to 1/3 of the whole Quran. As regards the philosophy of Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha is the most profound surah of the Quran. That is why it is called Ummul Quran. Ummul Quran, Asasul Quran, Al-Kafiyah. So actually, different surahs, different ayat are most profound, most important, but from different points of view, different subjects, different topics. So this topic, the inward feelings of a mu'min, and actually, it's the inward feeling of a person which decides his attitude. What you're feeling within your person, your attitude practically would be based on that feeling. So this is which I called yesterday the third dimension of the personality of a mu'min. This is actually, this has been given in these five ayat, and then in the rest of the three ayat, there's a call. Adopt this attitude. Now if you are a real mu'min, see, assess yourself. If you have this attitude, this feeling, this thinking, this angle of view, then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have the real Iman. As I told you in the end of the last lecture, that it gives us a measure with which we can measure our own Iman. I can't measure your Iman. You can't measure mine. But if we peep into our hearts, this is the measure of Iman. On the basis of these criteria, one can assess himself whether he has real Iman or not. If he has it, what's the depth of it? What's the intensity of that Iman? Now we start with each ayah. مَا صَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Most of the translators have used the word affliction or calamity. No calamity can befall you, no affliction can come to you without the permission of Allah, without the leave of Allah. And whosoever has real Iman, Allah guides his heart. مَا صَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. I have a different view, I will tell you later. But the translation is, by most of the translators, no affliction, no calamity can befall you, illa, except biiznillah, the permission of Allah, or the leave of Allah. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ Whosoever has real iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ He guides his heart. To what? That we shall discuss later. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ And verily Allah is in the knowledge of everything. He knows everything. Everything is in His knowledge. Now, Asaba Yusibo in Arabic literally means any happening, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. We find in the second section of Surah Al-Hajj, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ There are certain people who want to do ibadah to Allah, but they don't want to plunge into the main current. They remain alongside the coast, saving themselves, not to plunge into the main current. And what is their attitude? In asabahu khairu. If something good, pleasant comes to him, itmanna bihi, he is satisfied. So for khair also the same word asaba. In asabahu khairu itmanna bihi. Wa in asabatuhu fitnatun. And if some fitna, some trial, tribulation, some testing, some persecution comes to him, انقلب على وجهه he falls down on his face. He falls down. خسر الدنيا والآخرة This is the loss and failure of this world as well as the hereafter. ذلك هو الخسران المبين Here actually there is a contrast. There are people when they come to believe something they put everything on stake. ہر کے بعد آباد they plunge into the main current. I have accepted it. I have to proclaim it. I have to stand by it. Now I have to live with it and die for it. This is a man of character. He totally identifies himself with a cause. And there are other people who like something, who adopt something, who choose something, but they are not ready to take afflictions or persecution from that. Not to sacrifice anything. Save yourself. You know, Allama Iqbal has said, Tu bacha bacha ke na rakhi se tera aina hai wo aina, ke shikasta ho to aziz tarah nigaah hai aina saas mein. If you have accepted something, now you should be ready to sacrifice everything for his sake. But actually, few people have that strength of character. Mostly people want to be good. They want to do good. They want that there should be glory should come to our deen, but not ready to do any sacrifice themselves. This is the character discussed here. But only I quoted this ayah to show you that the word asaba yusibo, it can be is applicable to something pleasant as well as to something unpleasant. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ But usually this word is used for something unpleasant. This is the common usage. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ لَا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ It covers both good and bad. If something good has come to you, where from it has come? It could not have come to you without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if something unpleasant has come to you, some calamity has befell you, and I told you either it is through the natural agency, some natural phenomenon, some lightning has struck, or there is some earthquake, your house collapsed, it is a natural calamity. Or someone else has done something wrong to you, harm to you, someone has come and set your house on fire. Whether it is coming through human agency, or whether it is coming from, or through the natural phenomena, nothing can happen without the permission of Allah. This is the article of faith. Now, if you know this, then وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. What should be the reaction of a mu'min? If it is coming to me with the permission of my Lord, I accept it. Acceptance. No complaint. Complaining against your Lord. It couldn't have come to you without the permission of your Lord, your sustainer, your creator. Why complain? You have to accept it. Allama Muhammad Asad has given here. Now what's the meaning of that? Yahya Qalbah to surrender himself, but he quotes Imam Razi, to surrender himself completely to the will and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, Allah, I accept what you have decided for me. No complaint. It's from you, I take it. If it's good, thank him. Show your gratitude to him. If something unpleasant, two things must be. They are necessary for a moment. Number one, have patience and forbearance. And number two, you must think, although presently it is unpleasant to me, but there must be some good for me in it, in the long run. Because I am short-sighted, I don't know. Maybe something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordained something good for me. But immediately it is unpleasant. A doctor is giving a short injection to a child. But what does he think? He says, he is very cruel to me. He is giving me pain. But why is he doing it to you? For curing your ailment. For your treatment. A surgeon is cutting off your whole arm or the lower extremity. The person might think, he's very cruel. He deprived me of my arm or leg. But he did it to save your life. It had become gangrenous. It would have killed you. You are saved with the loss of a limb. So actually, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed something for me, it is He who has permitted it. He is my Lord. He is my well-wisher. He is my friend. Allahu waliyul ladheena amanu. Allah is the wali of every iman. He is the helper. He is the friend. He is the supporter of all who really believe. Can you do some harm to your friend? To someone whom you love? Allah loves you if you are a real mu'min. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّادِقِينَ. Allah loves you if you are really truthful in your iman. If you are doing your duties towards Him, then He is loving you. Will He ever decide something which is harmful for you? No. Although something appears to be harmful to me presently, instantaneously, for the time being, but definitely there is some good behind it for my Lord, my Allah, who loves me, who is my wali, who is my friend, who is my well-wisher. He cannot ordain anything which is evil. Now this a revolution has happened in your thinking. No complaints. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. We have in Arabic and Persian very beautiful poetry regarding this issue, which we call تَسْلِيمُ رَضَى. Be pleased, keep pleased with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He has decided it for me, well, okay, I accept it. He is my Lord. Without any complaint. And believing that there must be some good for me in the long run. Although it is appearing to me to be painful, Quran says, it is just possible that you think that something is harmful and bad for you, but it is actually good for you. It's also possible that you think something is good for you, but it is bad for you. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَانْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَانْ تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It's just possible that you might dislike something, but it's good for you. On the contrary, it's just possible that you might like, not only like, love something, but it is harmful for you. Only Allah knows, you don't know. That is, you know, that is why the best dua, the most important dua, that the Prophet ﷺ taught to his companions, just as he taught the Quran. Remember these words. The Sahaba say that the Prophet ﷺ taught to us this dua, this prayer, which is called dua istikhara, to ask for good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To resign yourself to the will of Allah. Oh Allah, I resign myself to whatever you like. I'll accept it. Because you know, I don't know. That dua, al-istikhara, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika, wa astakbiruka bi'qudratika, wa asaluka bi'fadlika al-azim. Fa'innaka takbiru wa la'akbiru, wa ta'alamu wa la'alamu, wa anta allamu al-ghuyub. اللهم ان كنت تعلم ان هذا الامر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبه امري فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وان كنت تعلم ان هذا الامر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبه امري فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ارضني به او الله I request خير from your knowledge because you know I don't know فانك تعلم ولا اعلم I don't know whether this thing is good for me or whether it is bad for me in the long run. So Allah, I am confronted with a problem. If you know it, that it is good for me, then decide it in my favor. Make it easy for me to get it. Then bless me in that thing. And if you know that this is going to prove harmful to me in the long run, take it away from me and keep me away from this. It is resigning yourself to the will of Allah, to the knowledge of Allah. And this is we call tafweezul amri ila Allah. You are handing over your matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa fawwidu amri ila Allah, inna Allah basirun bil ibad. I give away my matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let him decide. Whatever he decides for me, well, I'll be happy. I'll accept it. So this is the first result of Iman, which we call Taslim Raza. Let me give you certain ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this first and foremost result of Iman that should occur and happen in our thinking, in our feelings, if we have real Iman. مَا صَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Nothing can happen, nothing good or bad, can come to you without the permission of Allah. Whosoever has real faith, real iman, Allah guides his heart towards what? Taslim or raza. To remain pleased with the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for you. To the fate that He has given you. To the decree and decision that He has given for you. And that is the meaning of Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. This mutual pleasures with each other. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. It doesn't pertain only to the Akhirah that we shall be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us to Jannah, we shall be pleased, no doubt. But a mu'min has to keep pleased with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world also. That we find, how we find these words, radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat number 119. Surah Al-Tawbah, ayat number 100. Surah Al-Mujadila, ayat number 22. Surah Al-Bayyinah, ayat number 8. Which I quoted before also. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ جَزَاهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Mutual pleasures, raza. Allah pleased with his bondsman. The bondman also pleased with what Allah has given him, his lot. This is actually the first result. Now let me give you a hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه. And that is included in the Jami of Imam Tirmidhi رحمت الله عليه. The Prophet said to Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, اعلم, you must know, أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتب الله لك. If all the people they join hands to do something good for you, they will not be able to do it unless Allah decrees. On the other hand, لو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتب الله عليك. If they join together to do any harm to you, all the people, they won't be able to bring any harm to you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits it. This is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nothing good can come to me, nothing bad can come to me. Now can there be any fear for anybody? Can you have any hope from anybody? No hope? All hope from Allah. No fear from anyone, all fear from Allah. This is Iman. This is Tawheed. That is why, what is the result of Iman? Amn. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun. These friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no fear whatsoever. Whom should they fear? Nothing can happen to them. Nobody can do harm them unless Allah decrees. And if it is from Him, well, He is my Lord, He is my sustainer, He is my friend, He is my well-wisher. He cannot decide anything bad for me. I have all the faith in Him. It might be unpleasant. Presently, it might be unpleasant. Just like an operation being done to me. Just like an injection being given to me. Just like I have been forced to take a medicine which is very bitter. But I know it. It's for my good. For my benefit. So actually whatsoever is coming. Now this is actually the condition where all frustrations go away. Can there be any frustration for such a person? Can there be any sorrow for any person of this type? If something you have lost, well, it's Qadarullah. Allah decided it for me. I take it. I have no complaint. No grief, no sorrow, no fear. Nothing of the sort. Zaru kashif za pecha ke hastabood mara. Che uqdaha ke maqam-e raza kashood mara. This maqam-e raza has taken me out from all these complexities, all these conflicts, frustrations. Why people lose their mental balance? Grief, sorrow, at some loss, what has happened to me? It should not have happened. And actually this loss of something, there was a chance. For you it might have been the chance of the life. You have missed it. Now you are grieved, you are sitting, brooding. Why this has happened? And the mu'min would say, definitely, this is the decision of my Lord. This thing, howsoever I liked it, and I thought that it is beneficial for me, it must be harmful to me. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me miss this thing. Can there be any frustration? Can there be any conflict? Can there be any mental imbalance for a person of this type? All these mental diseases actually, because we have no faith in Allah, because we have no iman billah, that's the real cause. We believe and we have faith in matter, in all these material cause and effect system that is happening before us. Let me give you another hadith. It is from Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is present in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. He says, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. O Abu Huraira, if something happens to you, never say that had I done like that or that, it would not have happened to me. Never say this. ان اصابك شيء فلا تقل لو اني فعلت كذا كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله. You must say, it's in the decision of my Lord. Allah has decided it for me. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. He did decide whatever he liked. But I have resigned my choice, my free will, to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have accepted it as my Lord. Whatever is coming from me, ke har ke saath ye maareekh aine altafas. Whatever he is deciding for me, it's good for me. Although it might appear to be presently harmful or unpleasant. And the last words of this hadith, profound hadith, وَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَهُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This kalama law, had I done this, it would not have happened. Actually, this is the beginning of the action of shaitan. It's shaitan which is persuading you to say like this. Had I done this, I would not have lost this opportunity. I would not have met this accident. Had I done this, I would not have sustained this loss. All this is amal shaitan. Inna kalamata law taftahu amal shaitan. So this is the first ayah. Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi iznillah. Wa man yu'min billah yahdi qalbah. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.